Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Welcome to the 10th episode of Tender Loving Care? With your host, myself, Pauline, and my darling, Kate. Every week, Kate and I break down two shows from the TLC network. The name of the network that I believed for the longest time was an acronym for Tender Loving Care. And when I found out that it actually stood for the Learning Channel and I saw the types of shows that were on that channel, my deep confusion bred this podcast. Each week, Kate and I will randomly select two shows to cover for the next episode by spinning the Wheel of Shame, which has all 113 shows that we will be studying. Kate, this is our 10th episode.
We rule.
We are in double digits, Kate. Double digits.
I'm so happy for us. And thank you to everyone listening along. We love you.
I know. We really do. And you know, Kate and I were just having obviously we do all of our study and work, hashtag save for the potty. So we don't discuss the shows, but we were just discussing how exciting it is when we go onto like all of the analytics of who's downloading our show. When we see you, Perth, Australia, we see you, Germany, we see you, Switzerland. It's honestly the coolest thing in the world. So thank you so much. It makes Kate and I really, really happy to see all that.
I wish we could talk to them somehow. Write into the pod and tell us who you are. You don't have to say your name, just how you found us.
That's a really good idea. Yeah, email us at tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. That's actually a really good idea, Kate. That'd be so. And also, can you put your address and when we can come and visit you as well? Because my goal in life is to have as many houses of people around the world in different countries that I can just come and mooch off. So if you could do that as well, you can be on the show. There you go. That will be, if you host me for 2+ weeks at your house in Switzerland, you know, I'm gonna let you be on the show. I mean, that's really a huge gift.
That's a fair trade. Yeah,
it's a very fair trade. And also, I will need use of your car and for you to show me around and translate. Apart from that, you're getting the better end of the deal. Listeners,
being on the show and our company couldn't be better.
God. Dream. Okay, so do we have any housekeeping? I don't think we do, right? We have two regular shows. One that I was very excited about that we had mentioned in our very first episode that we were looking forward to. No, it's not Alaskan Women Looking for Love yet, but Kate is coming. I am feeling Alaskan Women Looking for Love.
Oh, I hope so. It's our white whale.
It is. You know what I just thought, though? Can you imagine what a shit show it's going to be if we pull it? We're both going nuts from Wheel of Shame. And we look up and it's just one of those shows that's banned. We can't find it anywhere. No.
Oh, God.
That would be the worst.
I can't take that. No.
Too much. Okay, so we should probably get stuck into it. So, Kate, do you want to go ahead with... our first big show.
All right, everyone. The first show that we are talking about today, it's actually a one-off, and yep. It is called The Man with the 80-Pound Groin.
I just want to say, I apologize. I have to usually apologize for being offensive, mean. I'm going to just apologize now for being immature. Carry on.
Okay, so TLC describes this show as a profile of a Michigan man with a debilitating medical condition called scrotal lymphedema that's caused his scrotum to swell to 80 pounds. So.
Okay.
Balls. Bollocks.
B-A-L-L-S. I had seen, when we had kind of crafted this idea for this podcast, Kate and I had to go through and list all of the shows that were on the TLC network. And by the way, Kate, when my intro is kind of redundant at this point. It's not 113 shows. We're probably at like 128 or something. Ones we haven't even added to the Wheel of Shame.
Every time I get on the app, see another show. So it's never ending.
It's never ending. But when we were compiling the list of the shows that we were going to cover, this came up, and I put a little asterisk next to it, Kate. I had to, because we wanted to go through the ones we were looking for. Dawson Stace is an obvious. We don't even need to talk about that. 1,000-Pound Sisters, obvious. 90 Day, the whole spectrum, 90 Day, obvious. But then you get these little gems, or big, heavy gems like this. So, there's going to be so many double entendres and like innuendo. I'm sorry, we're going to really try and be a little bit adult, but well, a little bit. So I was looking forward to this. So it came up, and so as Kate said, it's a one-off. I think it was like the usual 42 minutes or something. And my notes, I don't know about your notes, Kate, but mine are, this is how my notes start. Wanting it, needing it. I had not seen it, actually watched another show about an inflated groin. Okay, so I started watching this. I realized this wasn't even the one that me and my friend had hunted down and found years ago. It was about another dude with the massive groin that they do show very briefly in this.
Yes, and in fact, the 80-pound groin guy only knew what was wrong with him because him and his wife, Mindy, were watching TLC and saw the 132-pound groin guy, and they were like, oh, I think maybe that's what's going on with this giant fucking groin. Like, maybe we should finally get this checked out because of TLC.
See? What? Okay, that makes sense. So there was another one.
Yes.
And it was another TLC show. But because I know I'd seen it. I'd seen the documentary. Me and my friend were like, I remember she'd come over to LA. I just moved here. And we were wasted watching terrible, weird, odd documentaries, which is one of our most favorite things to do. And we had found this on YouTube and, of course, pissed ourselves laughing for about 3 hours because I apologize. But we did. And so I thought this is what we were going to see again. And it isn't. So it opens up. You know what? I don't think my notes. Did I even write down his name?
Dan.
I just realized I didn't even write down his name.
He has a name. He's not just a scrotum.
I know. Really? Pauline? Come on.
Come on.
Really? Come on. What did you say his name is? Dan?
Dan and Mindy. Dan. Mindy is his wife.
Got it. Okay. So picture the scene, guys. I didn't know whether TLC were going to do this like build up of the reveal. We were straight in. It's to describe this, obviously, I mean, is tricky. Imagine it's a very, very overweight man, first of all. Okay, I want to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, how do you even describe it? You see, go, Kate. I feel like you know how to describe it.
Okay, so imagine you are your kid's soccer coach, and you're going to practice, and you're carrying a mesh bag full of about five soccer balls, and then just swing it around between your legs, and that is what is hanging from this man's groin. Like, it is a giant, bulbous, huge.
Love that, bulbous, yeah.
And they've wrapped it, him and his wife have wrapped it tightly with
it was a compression bandages.
Compression, yes, to they think it'll prevent it from growing. We'll get to it. So
that was a great description. That was the you sent me there. You sent our listeners there. I mean, it's a massive appendage between his legs, so he can't move. And when we say 80 pounds, it's 80 pounds because his father ends up weighing it, which we'll get to. That was the scene. Daddy-o. Anyway, so it opens up and out, they do this exterior shot. I did write down it's in Michigan because, you know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, I am obsessed with little small town America. Like, when I say small town, I'm obsessed because this country is so huge. These little pockets in America where I'm just like, there's 300 people in this village. It just blows my mind. I don't understand any of it. And maybe they have a Piggly Wiggly. Who knows? But I am just, and they're like, everyone knows each other. And it just fascinates me. And to this, I wrote, when I was watching the beginning of this, you see this large barn house. And they just said they were in the countryside in Michigan. They were in the fuck middle of nowhere. That's where they were, right? There was nothing, Kate.
Yeah, as my mom says, BFE, bumfuck Egypt. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It, BFM. I mean, it was, I just was like, where are we? So I really felt like I was writing down, I feel like I'm in a dream world. I feel like I'm back in time. There was this large barn in the middle of these, you know, wild fields, in the middle of Michigan, small town America. And someone works in a factory at overnight shifts. It felt like a Tennessee Williams play. That's what I wrote down. I thought I was in a Tennessee Williams play. And I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. So you see, you know, you go into the house and they had a lovely cat. And that's what we always have. We always have to watch on the animals, which is wonderful. And he doesn't do anything. He can't move.
I'll tell you what the visual is. He's waddling around the house like Winnie the Pooh style. He's wearing a t-shirt and no pants, so they're blurring out his...
That's true. Sorry. There's no underwear. Don't even think about asking listeners if there's any underwear. It doesn't fit. He can't fit.
No. So they're blurring out his butt crack and his, like, areas... And he's dragging it around the house, and literally, he Kate's takes us on a tour. One of the first things he shows us is how he now has to take a whiz into the shower. He just goes into the stand-up shower and just demonstrates how he pees.
God, you're right. I forgot about that. You're right. I forgot. And so you see him trying to go up the stairs, but it's you're depressed instantly. I mean, from the exterior, you think Tennessee Williams, which most of the plays are depressing anyway, so it kind of is a theme. But you go in and it's this house that seems very, if you could see Kate's expression right now, it would be worth a thousand words. There wasn't anything there. Let's just say that in the house. There was like nothing there. And we meet his wife. Now, she plays a big role here.
Mindy,
thank you. Obsessed with him and just wants to have sex. That's basically most of the program. She just talks about wanting to bang. She's like, I can't have sex. Don't know what to do. Can't have sex. Well, husband and wife, we can't be intimate because they can't. He said something like he hasn't seen his penis in about 15 years. I mean, it's really bad.
Yeah. So they've been married for 20 years, and for the past 7 years, so almost half their marriage, they haven't had sex because they can't.
Yeah, you're right. And so you see her on her knees wrapping this appendage. And I just want to keep saying appendage because I don't know how else. As Kate said, imagine that net. And it's down past his knees, but it's wide as well. It's because it's 80 pounds, guys. £80. I mean, how many jotties is that? That's like, you know, let's compare it to how many jotties. That's a throwback to episode 6, everyone. And so that, so she's on the ground, she's wrapping it, and she says, we do this because we hope it will stop the growth. There's no knowledge. They don't know what's going on.
This is the part that blew my mind too. I'm like, who told you this? Why are you doing this? Why has it taken you this many years to go to a specialist? I just don't get it.
Well, you know what it came from me, coming from a socialist country and living in America, I thought that's because no one could afford healthcare. They probably can't afford it. That's what I thought. And I was like, once, because you guys, he's living with this thing in between his legs that weighs 80 pounds for years and just living with it. And you're watching it going, go to the doctor. But because they kept saying, yeah, we haven't seen a specialist. We don't know what to do. In comes TLC, solves it all, by the way, solves it all. We see a documentary of the man with it. And that's kind of how they discovered what he had. I mean, it wasn't even a Google search. They didn't go to their local GP. There's no doctor.
Well, actually, I just remembered they did go to the doctor because Mindy saw that when this first started, she saw that his scrotum was quite puffy, as she described it. And
don't use that word. Don't use those two words together again because it's making me nauseous.
They thought it.
You know me and my nausea, Kate. Don't do this.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, puffy sack. So then they were like, oh, well, he's fat. So like maybe he just, you know, he's got a fat sack. And right. So then within
that sounds like a doctor from my fat saved my life. That was a diagnosis. He's got a fat, you got a fat sack.
Fat sack. So then in a year, it went from being a little, sorry, puffy to being the size of a coconut. And then they went to the doctor and the doctor said, well, you're fat, lose weight. And then he tried to lose weight and it wasn't working and it just kept growing and growing and growing. And the penis remained the same size and is hidden under the sack for those that are wondering.
Well, if anyone needs a break or an alcoholic beverage, I think this would be a good time because
pause,
that was an accurate description. How do you let, this reminds me actually, this reminds me of something that's very kind of in the world of TLC, but I'm going to quote Ricky Gervais again because he's my hero, Lord and Savior. In one of his stand-ups, he was talking about one of his really early stand-ups. He was talking about something like the 1,000-pound people. He was talking about, you know, shows and these morbidly obese people and how they end up on these TV shows. So actually, it's very in theme. And he said, you know, so he had this whole bit about, I just don't understand how you get to 800 pounds. You get on the scale one day and you're like, ooh, 200, got to lose some weight. Get back on. You're now at 400. Isn't there a point where you think, maybe I should do something? No, it's okay. You step back on and you're 800. I mean, how has there not been a point when you've just gone, this number is not okay? And with this scrotal sack that went from a coconut to 80 pounds, was there not a point that Jim, Ben, Dan, what's his name?
Dan
said, ooh, I've got to do something. But maybe it is due to, you know, socioeconomic issues, which is really desperately sad if that's the case. But if they went to the doctor before, couldn't they go, but I don't know.
It could be. But think of all those people we've seen on Save My Skin and all this who have had this growth for 15 years, and they just, some people just really don't go to the doctor. They don't like going to the doctor. They don't trust the doctor. Yeah, so
that's very true. I mean, I am like the worst person. I lived in a society where you can make a doctor's appointment and go to the doctor the same day or next day for free. And I say free because you're paying for it in your taxes. And I still never went to the doctor. I don't go to doctors. And it's a terrible thing. I acknowledge it's awful and I should. But look, at least I go to the dentist, okay? I just don't go to the doctor. Anyway,
I'm the reverse. I don't go to dentists, but I go to doctor.
Yeah, but you've got American teeth. I've got English teeth. I have to go to the dentist. It's different. Very different.
Okay. Okay.
So anyway, we kind of see this going on. I'm trying to think of the progression of the show because it was 40 minutes. So you kind of see that they come in and they document his life and it's just nothing. Mindy works at the factory at night. And you know, she's just on him all the time, like looking after him. She has to do everything from bathe. There was no bathing, was there? I don't know if we saw anything about bathing, but was like hugging on him and talking about sex a lot and just wanting this relationship. And she was just like the purest person you've ever met. Right.
She didn't even say the word sex. She said marital relations.
Wow. She just wanted get it on. So he kind of sits in a chair all day. It's really sad. Like, I watched it. I was like, oh, I need a breather here because this is dark. But guess what? TLC comes in and saves the day, Kate.
We're going to Hollywood.
We're going to Hollywood. We need Irvine, but that's all right.
and we're going.
Yeah, we're getting there. Could it be any more Tennessee Williams? They're getting there by a train, which train. I fell in love with. Because here's the deal. I want to give someone a little bit of insight if you're American listening to this. In England, we get, our public transport, because we're a smaller country, is massive. And everyone of every social economic level takes buses and takes trains. It's not a big deal at all. And we use them constantly. And they're the privatized and completely expensive now. But that's a whole other issue. But everyone takes a train everywhere, whether you're very wealthy or middle class, local, whatever. In America, you know, especially coming to LA, nobody takes, you know, there's this whole stigma with buses and trains. I always found it really strange. It's just not where I'm from, and what I'm used to. So I first took the train a couple of times down to San Diego from LA, and I fell in love because your shit is all clean. It's all fucking clean and it's cheap. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like in England, it's just graffiti and shit everywhere on the trains. And it costs like £150 just to go from Reading to London. And you're just like, what? But I took an American train and I was like, this is it. The seats were big. They were clean. I went first class, which is like pennies to even go first class. And they had free alcohol. I was like, what? You couldn't do that in England. You definitely couldn't do that in England. Yeah, they came around, what would you like to drink? I was like, I'm sorry. It was amazing. It was amazing. So,
yeah, I want to go.
Come from, do the Austin to LA on the train. You'll be wasted the entire time. It'd be great.
You know what? That sounds like a great idea.
Doesn't it?
I was surprised. Michigan to LA. That is a long train ride.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. You see, I understand. I think I love the romance of it all because I'm thinking it's like an Agatha Christie. You know, someone's going to get killed on the train because that's just where my mind goes. But yeah, obviously. But, you know, you saw them on the train and I fell in love with that. And I thought, this is Tennessee Williams. Anyway, so they get to California, Irvine. They get to Irvine. And then they're going in. This is just a consultation. Is it right? Or is this...
You missed a really... Before they go to Irvine, they do what every tourist does when they go to LA. They think they need to go to the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Do you remember this scene?
Oh no, this is, can you imagine what the producers did and filmed? Go on. Yeah, I do remember.
So
do.
they make Dan walk down the Hollywood Walk of Fame, which, if you haven't been there, it's like every local avoids this area because it is dirty, crowded, touristy. It's not an enjoyable experience.
Everyone's robbing you. Everyone's either out to rob you or they're shoving a CD in your hand being like, listen to my album. That's all that happens in Hollywood Boulevard.
Or they're like urinating right next to you. It's just, sure. It's not cute, you know? So they're making him walk down the street and... they have all these people they're interviewing about when they saw him. And there's this guy who's like, what is wrong with him? Did you see that guy? I've seen a lot of weird shit in LA, but that's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
It was really rough. I know. And making him, you could see he can barely walk anyway. And they're like, yeah, let's walk. Let's get you to walk down so everyone can stare at you like a zoo animal.
Oh, and it looked hot. It looked hot.
Oh God. God, you know what that place smells like in the best of days, let alone on a hot LA summer. So they go there
anyway.
Yeah, then they go to Irvine to the specialist. And what does the doctor say in there? I've kind of forgotten. They just kind of confirm what it is, right?
Yeah, so the wife helps him kind of shove the the scrotum up on onto the examination table, and the scene is pretty much the doctor being like, "Yep, you have scrotal lymphedema,"
right, and he's like, which, "You know, their cat could have diagnosed." I mean, it's that's yeah, we know that, dude. You knew this, like, I don't know why it took so long, but he. Do they then go back to Michigan and then go back out again for the surgery?
Yeah, so they schedule the surgery for a month from that day. And so mm-hmm. they head back all the way mm-hmm. back to Michigan by train. And this is when we have the scene with the dad, Dan Sr.
Oh, it was a senior. Of course it was. So we're taken to some other house, like in just in the middle of a forest somewhere. Like, I don't know where these places are in America, but I have a longing for it. And then I realize I'd hate it. But I want to spend like a summer in a cabin in a forest in somewhere in America in these small towns. I'll probably get killed, but you know, I'd like to just before then maybe write a book or something in the summer. And I don't know. It fascinates me and terrifies me at the same time.
Being from small town Iowa, it's not quite as romanticized in my mind because
I romanticize everything. I romanticize train rides, Michigan houses that are falling apart. Oh, romantic.
Oh my gosh. But it's true. They're at, so I think it's his dad and mom's farm. And
yeah.
They decide they really want to know how much this gosh darn thing weighs. And so
they do something. Yep, go ahead. Yep.
So they don't know how to weigh it. They couldn't weigh it at the doctor's. And so Dan Sr. has this great idea to use his hunting scale.
Right. Now I'm just going to stop you there. I was team Dan Sr. until they said that H word. And I thought, you can go to hell. It's disgusting. How? Let's. You know what? I can go on a rant. I'm going to save it. All I'm going to say is, if listeners, if you don't like this, not going to apologize. No one needs to be hunting and killing animals. End of story. And this moron goes out, takes a gun, and slaughters animals for what? A sport? It's disgusting. Anyway, so he gets the H scale, and then what happens?
Which, if you don't know, it's just a metal bar, basically, with this sort of fabric. What would you call that?
Like a hammock thing to
like put a hammock.
Innocent murdered animals on. Yep, carry on.
Yeah, so they lift his ball sack onto this hammock and find out it weighs 80 pounds, aka 5 bowling balls, which Dan said at the beginning of the documentary, he's like, I think it's about, I would describe it as 3 bowling balls. And then we find out it's 5 bowling balls is how much it weighs. And his dad.
Go on. You can repeat it. You repeat what his dad said. Did you write it down?
The part I remember from memory, he's like, well, I never thought I'd see the day where I'm weighing my son's scrotum, but here we are.
That needed a moment of silence. A father. And you know what? You know what? TLC didn't feed him that. I genuinely think that was him. It was so shocking and horrific. And you just wonder what life is all about at that point. I'm sat on my sofa watching a show about a man who lives in a forest in Michigan. He's weighing his son's scrotum. And I'm thinking, Pauline, how did we get here? You know, how did we get here? It's just my station in life at this point, I guess. But it's okay. It's okay. So there was that pleasant scene. And then they have a scene where he's getting ready to leave to go back to Hollywood to get his operation. And they're also going to be taking off like a lot of his, like a stomach or loose skin around his stomach or something on his stomach. It wasn't a bypass, but stomach bypass, but I don't know what it was. So they have an outdoor kind of barbecue. Fascinated by it as well. It was just so silent. It was just so silent. It was this house that probably came with like so much land that costs pennies.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just in the middle of I'm not going to get over this. It was just a lot for me to watch. I was transported, dreamlike state.
They were just some odd. They were just like some quiet farm folk.
Yeah.
Although we have not mentioned Dan's hair, which I'm shocked you haven't brought up this ponytail. It's another wacky ponytail.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I didn't. I apologize deeply.
Dan has a pretty much buzzed head. He has a mullet, okay? And the back is very long, and it's lime green. Lime green ponytail. So he's like...
Just, you know, it's, you see this a lot in these documentaries, and I have to be very careful how I word this. My friend refers to it as... You know, she's practically like a third host of this show at this point. She gave us functional faces. She's the one that I watch all the shit docus with. But she says, don't you... I've got to be very careful. You always find people that are perhaps lost their looks or let themselves go to a mm-hmm. very, very large extent.
Mm-hmm.
Always have jazzy hair and jazzy nails. And she uses the word jazzy because that's what they think it is. It's always spiked pink hair or something. It, you know, you're standing out in a crowd enough looking the way you do. We don't need to do some horrific hairstyle and hair color as well. And that's what he was doing. It was the poor man had no identity apart from sitting in a chair. So what else is he going to do? Grow a ponytail and dye it green to be jazzy.
It was striking enough that it was almost as if he did it to say, don't look at the 80-pound ball sack. Look at the lime green ponytail.
He sat one day and thought, what's going to distract the person that sees me with no underwear on and no pants and a third leg? I know, I'll grow a ponytail and dye it green. Ding, 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 ding. That's what it was.
He was like Hot Topic. If Hot Topic came to life as a human. Yeah, he had like black. Yeah.
It was rough. So you're anyway. Right. We don't see them going back to Hollywood, which I would have enjoyed. I wish we could have got some more footage from the train. That I would really enjoy that.
I mean, they gave us a little bit of storyline on the first time out there because the wife, Mindy, is talking about how this is just another time where it could be a romantic fun thing that they're going to do, but he's mm-hmm. stuck in the train car. He can't move around. And
right,
she's wistfully looking out the window and... They talk a lot about how they used to do all this active stuff and then now they just sit at the house.
I find kind of hard to believe, but anyway.
I think it's like swimming in a pond, you know.
Swimming
stuff.
In a pond, and there's a lot camping. Of pond swimming where they're from. A lot
camping
of pond swimming.
And
So yes, they get there and then he has the operation and it all went fine.
12 hours.
Oh, was it 12 hours?
It was a 12-hour operation, yeah.
So the next we kind of see is he's back in the forest, in the magical forest in Michigan. And he is up walking around. Now, I'm going to say something. The man had obviously this huge thing he had to get rid of. But he was also very, very overweight, which I'm surprised they didn't mention just for his health and stuff like that. He had lost no weight.
He almost looked heavier.
I know. And I thought, because he kept saying before, he's like, you know, I just sit all day and it's terrible. I can't move. I can't do anything. And the next thing we see is frying chicken in the kitchen, looking heavier than ever. And I'm just like, I thought, dude, I'm glad you can bang your wife now, but I thought you'd at least be able to move a little bit and maybe lose some weight. No, we're not going to do that.
And Mindy is just... so tickled pink. She's calling him baby doll this, baby doll that. And I was like, oh, Mindy got laid.
Yeah, Mindy's getting it as much as possible. And we... was there anything else? Hang on. See anything?
I have like three more scenes I wrote about.
Oh shit, do I? Okay, go ahead. I don't think I do in my notes.
Okay, so he's cooking chicken, oh, yeah. They're eating, sure, yeah. Mindy mm-hmm. got laid, okay. And then we get this scene and this inspirational music starts playing and all of a sudden he comes over the hill and he's going as fast as he can on a four-wheeler and his parents Dan Sr. and his mom are just standing there watching him ride the four-wheeler with these solemn faces. And he's just like, oh, four-wheeler.
You're right.
And
it was like, I forgot that.
Dun, 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 dun. I've been wanting to ride my four-wheeler for years. Dun, 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 dun.
It was really like, you don't maybe want to work out and get healthy and maybe cut the ponytail. No, he just wants to get on a four-wheeler. Same way. I'm sorry, I can't get over that. I just thought maybe a scene of him playing tennis. Or maybe that's too much to ask. But maybe it would be just something. But there was, like, nothing. It was just him sitting down again. But now he can sit down in a different place on a four-wheeler.
What they should have done is had him go to UC Irvine to get the big sack removed and then mm-hmm. send him straight to Dr. Now.
I keep hearing... Now, Dr. Now is £600 life, right?
Yeah, and he's...
See, I didn't know that.
He's so funny.
Okay, we will explore that a lot when we get to that show. But I do know Doctor... I can see his face in a lot of, like, parodies and, like, memes of him. Yeah, well, you're right. Yeah. That would have been perfect. Get it all done. He could have been then doubled his income on the TLC shows. Could have done mm-hmm. two. Perf.
A twofer, yeah.
You know what would be so interesting, Kate? If we, and listen, we've done our call, we will continue to call for our agents in the field to give us more info if you have worked on a TLC show or, you know, all of that stuff that we go on about. But I want to know what they're getting paid. What did him and Mindy get paid for that? I wonder. Obviously, their travel was covered and the medical expenses were covered. We know that. TLC would have paid for the doctors, paid for the train. I wonder... I'd love to know. I would love to know. It would be a couple of thousand max, right?
Yeah, I'm going to say like...
They'd probably give them a couple of thousand.
Two or three grand for the whole thing. Yeah.
You'd probably be able to buy the entire town that they live in that magical forest.
They came back and they were bawling out at that bowling alley. They're like, chicken nuggets for everyone!
Seriously. By the way, did we know, as Pete just mentioned, bowling alley... Now, if you couldn't have been more obvious, TLC, where do they take him? Somewhere where he's surrounded by balls. I mean, really, TLC? Really? Did you think we weren't going to mention that?
I know. They talk about the bowling ball analogy like two or three times throughout the whole thing, and then that's where they end up. But then the very last scene, it just like kept having more scenes. The very last scene is him taking Mindy on a romantic date to Clara's on the river.
And Clara's on the river.
He
combed... We can do ads for you, Clara's on the river, if you want us to.
Email us.
Email us.
If you were their server at Clara's on the river, email us. At tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. So we get them getting ready. He's combing his green ponytail. He puts on a button-up shirt and
pants. Is he wearing pants at this point?
He's got his pants on. He's got his underwear on. There's candles on the table, and they split a real big dessert.
That's what I was going to say. Look, you said it. I didn't say it. I thought they then tucked into like some 8,000 calorie brownie or something. And that was it. That was the end of their love story. And
that was
I'm sure
it.
They're still together. And I'm sure they're madly in love with each other. And I wish everyone would have love like that. But I, you know, the love to wrap your partner's 80-pound groin every day is and not get sex. That's love.
Woo.
And work at a factory to fund your life. I mean, Mindy... is a saint, dude.
Mindy is the MVP. I hope that Mindy had a really good vibrator, at least.
Oh, God, yeah. Something. Maybe she was banging someone at the factory. But,
something.
Yeah, so that was kind of it. It was, we got a glimpse, as we kind of said, we got a glimpse of this other man that had had the bigger groin, but that's not on the Wheel of Shame, so we're not going to have to watch two groin stories.
I was wondering about
no,
that. Okay,
no,
that's
it's not,
good.
It's not. So time to rate, Kate. Oh, that's time to rate, Kate. Time to rate. All right, so what are you going to give the man with the 80-pound groin?
Simple, 80 pounds of learning.
Same. That was kind of like, what the... Boom, we did it together. 80 pounds of learning. So that's it. That was a man with the 80 pound groin. It was one that we were looking forward to. Definitely didn't live up to the hype, but you know, that's
no.
just gonna happen with TLC shows.
Watched it first thing, kind of set the tone for my day.
I know. I watched it. I was like, oh, hello, darkness, my old friend. There's a lot of that.
We didn't even say the darkest line out of the whole thing.
What?
Right before he goes into surgery, they're interviewing him, and he goes, well, you know, if it goes well, then Mindy can have a happy life with me. And if it doesn't go well and I die in there, well, I'll be happy with that too, because at least she can move on.
Excuse me?
He said that.
I didn't hear that. I was probably too deep in my depression at that point watching this show. What? Oh, for God.
He said that, wow, okay.
It's my brain probably switched off. They were like, you've had enough today, Pauline. You can't hear this. Keep living in your fantasy of murders on trains and workplace.
Doesn't get much darker than that.
Well, good luck to Tim, Dan, whatever his name is, and his wife, Mindy. On to our next show.
Yes.
Second show. Now, this is an interest. This is interesting. All right. Our second show that we picked was Breaking Amish. So let's read the synopsis for this. The series revolves around five young Anabaptist adults, four Amish and one Mennonite, who move to New York City in order to experience a different life and decide whether to return to their communities or remain outside of them and face ostracism by their families and friends. Now, before we start on this, we're just starting on it. I had definitely watched quite a bit of this before. I kind of knew the players. There are four seasons. The first season one and two have the same players in it. And then three, and I'd never watched anything other than that. So I thought all four seasons were going to be kept covering these people. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. Season three, they bring in new people. And then season four, they bring in new people. Kate, I watched it all.
Wow.
So a lot of things I'm obsessed with. One of them is the Amish culture. And I spoke to Amish in your home state of Iowa. So I've always been fascinated by the Amish culture. Didn't know a lot about it. Obviously, it doesn't exist in England. So I thought, I've always wanted to see them in America. And I've been through places where I've seen the signs where it says the buggy crossing and things like that. And I thought, actually, you know, and I had once again, everything's romanticized. So this whole idea of, you know, what it's like and this whole removed society, which it is, you know, we don't, you know, in my romantic view, we definitely don't go into the fact that their dentistry is removing all their teeth with pliers. But anyway, we'll get into that. But I was in Iowa and I went to an Amish bakery. And I walked up, I mean, I was wide-eyed, bushy-tail, wide-eyed, everything. I was taking it in. And the men, I walked up the steps and the men put their head down, wouldn't look at me. I was like, oh. And then I walked in and the most beautiful cakes and pastries and their baking's phenomenal. And so I'm looking at everything and I see the women in the kitchen and they're all barefoot. And I found that really interesting as well. They weren't wearing shoes. And the people I was with, I asked why, and they were like, oh, I don't know. But they were walking around with no shoes on, and obviously they had a wood-burning stove that they were cooking everything in because there's no electricity. And they were, anyway, then we went to another Amish store down the road, and they were selling quilts. And so I started to engage in a conversation with this woman, an Amish lady. She was probably mid to late 40s. And when I say it was a beautifully unnerving interaction, that's the most perfect way to sum it up. I was speaking to this woman at the age in her 40s, and it was as though I was speaking to a young girl. She goes, "Where are you from?" And her voice, her eyes were big, and she was kind of assessing me and kind of understanding. I said, "Oh, I'm from England." She goes, "Wow.
Where is that?"
Yeah, she just was so enamored by the fact that I wasn't from there and was asking me questions. And I had to push the words back because I was about to be like, "Oh, have you been to England?" And I was like, "No, she doesn't go to England. They don't go on planes." But I was fascinated by her. She just had, if she had started like skipping down a prairie, I wouldn't have been surprised. It was this level of naivete and innocence that I was mesmerized by her. I really was. And she made the most beautiful quilts, obviously all handmade. They cost a fortune, by the way. The Amish must be wealthy because they were like hundreds and hundreds of dollars, these quilts.
Okay, that explains how all these kids had money on this show.
Well, I think TLC gave them a stipend, to be honest. That's what it was. They had no clue about money. I think it was a stipend, but
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, that was my interaction with the Amish. So I had watched a lot, pretty much all of season one and a little bit of season two beforehand. So I was excited to go back to it. It was years ago, and I kind of watched it. It was like, oh, I remember this. And then I watched 3 and 4 with new people. But you're from Iowa. What's your experience with the Amish?
I've never had an actual interaction with Amish people. I don't think. I went to college near a town where a lot of Amish people live. So I would occasionally see them around town. Wow. But that's about the extent of it, honestly. I don't know.
I find it interesting. So for anyone, I'm sure everyone knows what we're talking about here, but for anyone that doesn't, the Amish culture is essentially, it is a religious sect, organization, like I guess you would say. They are segregated from, segregated isn't the right word. They live independently from modern society. They have their own language, which is Amish Dutch. Or German Dutch. It's kind of a mix. It's not a regular German. They basically live, work under, you know, the ruling of their religious texts. And they don't have any electricity. They wear very plain clothes, even there's so many rules, but it's stepping back into like the 1800s, 1700s even. They have dolls, but the dolls aren't allowed to have faces on them because they think that's a sign of vanity. So when they give their babies, everything's homemade from scratch, no electricity, they're using fire-burning stoves, they're up at 3 o'clock in the morning, like milking cows. I mean, their life is, they say, it's, they usually finish education at about 8th grade, which is, what is that, how old are you in America? That's like 14 or 13, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them don't have any education at all. From that, they live, they work to the bone, like physical manual labor. They go to church for like 3 hours on a Sunday. That's the day of rest. The women have babies. They cook. It's those traditional type of roles. And when I first started learning about the Amish years and years ago, I learned about Rumspringa. And I think it's because there was a band, actually. I wonder if they're still around. I just should have Googled that, called Rumspringa. And I didn't know where that name came from. And it's usually a year that's given to Amish children when they are about 17 or 18, where they go and live English. Now, when they use the word English, it means that they are living in modern society.
Yes.
They will take, because they all wear the same clothes as well, with the bonnet, the women wear the bonnets and the men wear the hats and the homemade dresses. And so they're given a year. And I watched a documentary about Rumspringa, and it's very scary because you are pushing someone essentially with the ideas of the world and street smarts of a toddler into the world. And the rate that the majority of them return back to the Amish community is extremely high, which I always found fascinating because it terrifies them in the real world. They come out and the first thing they do is drink and party their arse off. So massive amounts of them end up getting DUIs. They end up getting, because they don't drive cars either, I remember, in the Amish community.
Right.
And this Rumspringa documentary just shows them, I mean, they're doing, they go one day from the Amish, from the safe, safe community, to they'll smoke a cigarette and have a beer, and the next thing they're doing meth. I mean, like a week later. It was a really shocking documentary.
It reminded me of those kids that would have super strict parents high school, and then they would get to college and just go nuts.
Yeah, it was really striking because they don't know the world. They don't at all. And the Amish deliberately want to keep it like that. But they say, go out for a year, see what it's like to live with the English, and then come back. And the majority of them from this documentary all came back, Kate. It was very interesting. They all went back to the Amish life.
I'd like to watch that.
It was an HBO documentary. It was years old, but it was very, very interesting, but hugely tragic. There was a couple that died from ODs because they're doing they had never even had a cigarette before.
They don't know.
Suddenly they're on meth. It's
deeply
really
unsettling.
Scary.
Deeply unsettling.
So, Kate, we start season one and two covers the following characters. We have, where's my list? We have Jeremiah, Kate, Sabrina, Abe, and Rebecca. Now, all of them are Amish, apart from Sabrina, who's Mennonite. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah and Sabrina were both adopted, and this was a running theme in all four seasons. I didn't realize this. The Amish adopt a lot of children. I didn't know that at all.
Why is that? Is there a reason?
Don't know. I have no idea. They'd never explored it a lot, but we kept meeting children that go, I was adopted. And I thought, that's so interesting.
I would speculate that it's because they want to save as many people as they can, and that's like, okay, we're saving.
I don't think it's about saving. Is it that? I think it's about that they it's purely because women are supposed to have children and perhaps these women cannot. So they go to orphanages and they adopt, which is beautiful. But it was very interesting that majority of these people in this all adopted. And I think so they had a urge to really find out who they are, because the essence of this show is that some of them have done Rumspringa. A lot of them are like around 19 to 25. That's kind of the age of these people. And they decided to, I don't know the background of the casting. That would all be very interesting of how this even came about, because essentially TLC leads you to believe they met with different Amish Mennonite young adults that said, I'm thinking of leaving. And in the Amish culture, you're not even allowed to take photographs, let alone have a TLC camera crew on your property. So that's all very blurry how the casting even happened with this.
Yeah, and they do that classic TLC thing where they have them reenact them moving out of their homes.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and there was some audio where they are having genuine conversations with their parents saying, I'm leaving. The parents are going, you get shunned.
Right.
You'll be shunned. You'll never come back here. You cannot wear clothes like that. You cannot cut your hair. You can't, you know. So that was blurry. And I would love to, I didn't do any research, obviously, but I would love to have kind of figured out how TLC explained, because they have no access to the internet. But then again, we're talking about this, but they're still young people that are inquisitive. So they would say, a lot of them, they said, when we go into the town, they work at farmers markets a lot, right, in the community, and they say, we're interested, we want to know what a cell phone is, we want to know how to use it. So they would find ways to get things and hide it. So some of them aren't as naive as we think. They are as interested as any teenager is on music and the world.
So do you think a casting person from TLC was milling about at a farmer's market?
I think it's very likely. I was trying to figure out how this happened. I think the ones that ended up on this show, the majority of them had a family member that would appear on the show. Some of them, not all of them, some of them did.
Yeah.
And they were filming on their property for a little bit, even though they did have to genuinely dodge when they saw the bishop coming.
Right.
They said, I've told my parents that they're filming for following the life of the Amish. And there aren't many documentaries at all that do that because it's not allowed. So I'm wondering if what they did is, I think there's a very good chance of farmers market, because they do interact with society like I did. You know, at these, they have these bake shops, they have all these things that the general public come into. So I think maybe TLC came up with it. They came up with this idea and just started putting posters up. I think it's very likely. So we meet them and it's kind of them leaving and telling their family they're going to New York, because yeah, they're saying, so the whole kind of pretense is that they're going to go and see what life is like outside of everything, and they're going to New York. And obviously TLC has set it up where they give them a home and they go to New York and have to kind of figure it out.
New York City, by the way.
New York City, not New York State, New York City. These people,
I couldn't believe this.
And these first couple of seasons were the most genuine.
There's
a lot of things in here that we can go into. We could spend a lot of time going on about this, because there's a lot of kind of, two of the characters actually already knew each other and they pretended that they got together on the show. One of them had a kid. It gets really convoluted, but essentially they all meet up. So we have Jeremiah, who he's adopted, and he is a duke.
He's 32, by the way.
That's true. When this starts,
he's older.
I get that.
Which makes sense to me when you watch him.
He's had like DUIs. See, you find a lot of them have had DUIs. That's a running theme in this, because they're Ron Springer and like just not knowing a lot about anything. So you have him. Then you have Kate, who wants to be a, she was like the bishop's daughter. And she wants to be a model. She ends up hanging out with Leonardo DiCaprio. She's interesting. Then you have Abe and Rebecca, and you see them get in the van when they're going to go to the airport. And Abe and Rebecca are like, oh, hi, good to meet you. They end up getting together over season one and getting married, okay? Rebecca had already been married and divorced before. You don't get divorced in the Amish culture. So this was another thing as well. Some of them had like had a baby out of wedlock. Some of them had been divorced. They weren't regular abiding Amish people. So I think we need to take that into like the casting. I think anyone that, like a couple of these had been divorced and had kids. And you're like, hang on, what? You don't do that in Amish culture at all. So they were already kind of rebellious or going against the grain. So they probably had cell phones. They were probably interacting in the town a little bit more. Some of them had English boyfriends. So, you know, they had access to the outside world, and that's how they probably got cast.
Yeah. I think they were definitely, and this is reported, I've seen this kind of around the internet, that they had to pretend that they were more innocent than they actually were, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
For storyline purposes. Yeah.
For sure. And so you have Abe. You have Abe and Rebecca. That was their story. And then you find out that she's actually already been married and divorced and never told him, apparently, and has a kid. And she's like, and then you find out wasn't he the father of the kid? You find that it was really, their storyline was really odd. They act like they didn't know each other. They'd lived in the same Amish community when they were younger. They had dated, they'd had a kid. Then they separated to live in two different states. She got married and divorced to someone else. And then comes on the show with him. And they're like, oh, hi. We don't really know each other. And then they end up getting married.
By the second season, I just found most of these people to just be awful.
Oh, they're awful. Well,
they're awful.
I haven't spoken about Sabrina. So we have Jeremiah, Kate, Abe, and Rebecca. Now, Sabrina, she's a Mennonite. I'm going to read you what I wrote about her. So first of all, she's adopted as well, and she was married and divorced. To describe Sabrina, she's someone that I say is very, you can tell is very, very damaged. And I wrote down here, I feel like some people have a hard life. And then there are others that just find life very hard. And I think Sabrina's one of those that just finds life very, very hard. Her head was down. She spoke. As I was going through the seasons, I was like, who does she remind me of? And she reminds me of Mira Sorvino from Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. You know, she, I can't do it. But it's all monotone and kind of, Michelle, like, she kind of talks like this all the time. And it's kind of deep. I'm doing a really bad impression. But if you know the character...
We invented post-its.
That's that, yeah. We invented post-its. Yeah, she's like that. So she speaks exactly like that, but her head's always down and she always looks like she's on the verge of tears. And you just feel like you've been through stuff. That's what I kind of felt with her.
She was my favorite of all of them.
Agreed. She was. And her storyline was really tragic because I did actually look her up. You see her go through these two seasons. You find out she already had two kids as well.
Oh.
Yeah, but they were living with the father's family. See, these weren't just Amish kids brought off the farm. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, she was adopted. They get to, they take them all to New York. And then, Kate, do you want to kind of talk to about what they were,
yeah,
what they were like in New York?
I mean, yeah. Okay. So they all get to New York, plane, train, automobile. And yeah, that in itself is a journey. Oh, wow. A mm-hmm. plane, you know? Mm-hmm. And then they get to New York, which, first of all, I was like, could they not have sent them to Omaha or Des Moines?
No, it's TLC. It's TLC, baby. TLC.
New York City. Oh, my God. So they're putting them up in this hotel. And so they have this, like, wacky scene of them picking up the telephone and playing with the radio and turning on and off the light switch in the water. And my favorite description that someone gave for wanting to leave was who was it? I think it was the guy who I don't like, which is Jeremiah. They just, before he got to the city, they just show him doing chores and he's like, being Amish, you can't do anything. I'm bored. I'm sick of this shit. Basically with him.
Yeah.
So they're very excited about all these modern conveniences.
Yeah.
And so they decide they want to go to Times Square, the Hollywood Walk of Fame of New York City. And they are asking people how to get there. They are getting lost. They're getting very overwhelmed. It's clearly like when you go to Las Vegas and it's just stimulation overload.
Right.
And so they do that and they're up on the rooftop and they're drinking wine and they're buying sunglasses. Drinking,
which are all, I don't even want to talk about style. They have no clue, right? So they're wearing stuff that it's just, they think is rebellious. And it's like, let's go and get our ears pierced. And it's like, they're wearing stuff like where it's really heavy, like metal chains that they think is cool. It's like, so cringy.
Jeremiah really moved into his final form though. He's like, I'm like, this is how he was meant to look. He has, he has an eyebrow hoop. He has thick metal earrings. He's wearing JNCO jeans and a baggy sweatshirt. I was like, yeah,
that's him. You're right. You're so right. And he's a dick. Did we mention that?
Oh God. The men are so misogynistic.
Oh, totally. So you see, they automatically all hate Kate because she's very, very pretty.
Yep.
And this girl, Rebecca, is an absolute bitch as well. I just want to say, God, I'm really sorry, but she is. She's not an attractive girl. And she keeps saying, I'm going to go and I want to model like Kate. That would be fun. Let's go and model. Did you know it was that easy to become a model, Kate? I mean, I didn't know. So they're in New York, and Kate actually has the physique, somewhat of the physique. She doesn't weigh like 2 pounds. She's a very, very thin girl, but she's not like the emaciated for like runway, which she ends up kind of trying to get, which is a whole storyline. But anyway, she photographs very, very well and is tall and has a bone structure and has all of that. So they go to modeling agencies. And it's her and this girl, Rebecca, who is just like, you know, those really, she's bitter and angry. She's just bitter and angry and sour. That's the word. She's really sour. She's a horrible character. And of course, they don't want anything to do with her.
No, she always looks like she's sucking on a lemon.
No, she has horrible. A stank.
She just radiates negativity.
Oh, she's a horrible creature. I know. And then, of course, the agents are like, oh, we really like you, Kate. Want you to come back. And she ends up getting a contract. And I looked her up. She's genuinely had gigs. It's not been like, you know, runway, but she's definitely been a commercial working model.
Nice.
And so Rebecca comes out and she's like, well, I didn't want it anyway. You just like, oh, gimme. She's like a child. She's horrible. And she's just hates Kate. You can just tell because Kate's pretty and like,
oh, yeah.
Both the girls, like, no one likes Kate because the men can't sleep with her because she doesn't want to sleep with them. And she doesn't want to. She wants to actually experience life. Like, she actually wants to go to clubs and hang out with people that aren't Amish, and they hate her for it. They're nasty to her. They're mean. And it's just, I really just think it's because she's pretty and nice and is popular and people want to be around her.
It's kind of similar to me. So
I was just going
to
say my whole life. Yeah,
my whole life.
My
yeah.
whole life. So, you know, that's been, so that was kind of her, and Sabrina is just tortured. Like, imagine she's a very small girl and her head's always down. Her head's down, like she's hiding from the camera, but she's hiding from life. Like, maybe that's going too deep, but there's just a lot. Oh, by the way, Rebecca doesn't have any teeth. Did I mention that? No. I forgot to mention that. You know what? I can't blame it. I'd be fucking miserable if someone removed all my teeth with pliers, because that's what the Amish dentists do.
Dentists.
I don't know what to talk. She went to a dentist and they said this is barbaric what happened to her.
Oh, God. That's horrible. Oh, anyway. And then do you remember the scene in the hotel? They're getting ready to go and Sabrina is eating an apple.
Okay.
And Rebecca comes up to her and is like, you're just always eating.
Oh, that was hard. Yeah,
it's deep. So annoying that's how you're always dark. Eating.
That's dark.
And Sabrina was like, yeah. I'm eating an apple. This is my breakfast. Like, I just kind of eat throughout the day.
Well, you were eating all day. It's just, she, Rebecca's got the body of kind of, they call it like skinny fat. Not that it matters what anyone's body's like, but she's just naturally very, very thin, right? This Rebecca's always, she's pretty, that girl's just always been very, very thin, but doesn't really have like a shape. It's really strange, but Sabrina has said she struggled with her weight. She was overweight. And so for someone to comment on your eating is,
awful.
Oh, it's really dark. Rebecca's just nasty. She hates the other girls. She's just miserable. I mean, Kate, we have four seasons. I don't know how much you want to kind of go. Do you want to kind of skim over what happens in New York with all of them and their relationships? Because we should go on to like where they go to then the next season.
So they get together. Well, Rebecca and Abe get together during season one, right? And then
they marry.
They get married. And then what happens with Jeremiah and,
Sabrina.
And Sabrina, don't they sleep together?
So they sleep together, but she later says, and like, so Jeremiah in itself, we haven't really spoken about him. He is just a guy that is desperate to seem, to put it simply, cool. He's desperate to be noticed. He's desperate to rebel, goes and gets a tattoo straight away, and they're just so clueless on any type of style or culture. That, you know, he gets a tribal tattoo and it's like, I'm super cool now. And he's completely misogynistic. He is horrific to Sabrina. At one point in season two, Sabrina's adopted, as is he, by the way. She's drunk and crying because she turned him down. And this is, if you've ever had this, and I remember this one guy at college that was horrific to me because I wouldn't sleep with him. And then I had a boss that was like that as well. But this is a lot. We could go into that. That's another podcast. But this one guy reminded me of Jeremiah reminded me of this one guy. She, like, he was always trying to sleep with her.
Yeah.
And she said in the reunion that he, quote, tried to put it in, but she stopped him. So he was just always trying to sleep with her. And he admits that he really, really liked her. And now she's a bitch because she didn't feel the same way. Like that, if you're a woman, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That anger. These men end up hating you because they just want to have sex with you and they can't. It's a horrific feeling and position to be in.
It's incel vibes.
Yeah,
it's,
exactly.
He's
exactly.
That guy. Yeah.
Yes. And so anyway, in season two, I just want to mention, this is kind of speaks to his character. They're sat and she's crying and he's like drunk, and because there's so much drinking with all of this, because they have no idea how to regulate any of the drinking.
None. And swearing, they curse much.
Oh, I didn't really. Yeah, you're right. Anyway, he sat there and he's going to her, you know, you hurt me and you did this. And she goes, oh, shut up. Like, just stop. And he goes, look, even your mother didn't want you.
I forgot about that.
And you're just like, who, dude? You're not clever. You're not witty. You're not cool. You're just a mean, gross, sad, pathetic man. And that's what he's like the entire time with Sabrina. And she's so beaten down. Her shoulders are curved over. She's just beaten down by life.
Season two, the season starts with them renting an RV. Mm-hmm. And they all get the gang back together.
Yeah, this is the premise of season two, yeah.
To journey down to Florida. And their whole thing is they're going to move to Sarasota, Florida, where there's all these ex-Amish people and their life is going to be so much better because they won't be shunned by everyone. And first of all, before they leave, they're hanging out with this really creepy character, this guy that they're friends with from childhood. And he's like, if I ever see Jeremiah, he's going to be in the hospital because I'm going to beat the crap out of him because he slept with my fiance.
Yeah. That guy. He was a friend of Abe and Rebecca's, and he was like, I know him. And because he had gone to the wedding of Abe and Rebecca with his then fiance, and Jeremiah is one of those guys as well that would sleep with anything. I mean, anything. Any woman that showed him a tiny bit of attention is like, oh, she's in love with me and I'm going to sleep with her. And so he went and slept. And I hated that they kept being like, oh, he's such a playboy type of thing. No, he's not. He's disgusting and just wants to sleep with anything he can. It's gross. And so he ended up, they went to this wedding and this dude slept with her. And this guy was evidently still extremely angry about it all and just think he's disgusting. And there were so many people that hate him, that hate Jeremiah.
Everyone hates Jeremiah. Yeah. So they journey down to... This part was funny to me. They're taking this big road trip, but none of them have ever been on a road trip. So they don't know what they're doing. And they have an RV. It's the middle of winter and they just park it. They just park it in a random parking lot. Yeah. And they're shivering to death because they didn't go to an RV site to hook it up to electricity. Like, it's a mess. Yeah. And then when they're almost to Sarasota, Jeremiah lays it on them that he in fact doesn't have anywhere for them to stay. So they have to walk around and ask strangers for somewhere to live.
In the Amish community, because there's a big Amish community, because the whole reason they're going there is because Jeremiah had moved after season one. They'd all kind of splintered off to wherever they were. Some went back to the Amish community to live, but live English. And then he went down to Florida, and that's when he was like, well, come down here. So they go down there, and he's like, I've got nowhere to live. But there's a big Amish community here, so let's go and ask them. So they're going up speaking Dutch to these people, being like, can I stay here? And there was such a fallout from the first season. There'd been nothing like this on TV before. So the genuine Amish community were disgusted by all of them. They were really angry with this show. So they really are victimized a lot. That people don't want anything to do with them in the Amish culture. So they're asking for somewhere to stay. And everyone's like, no, I'm not renting to you. I'm not staying. You people are just coming up to them. They film it. And they're just like, get out of here. You shamed us. You do terrible things. You're not a good representation of the Amish culture. So they end up finding one guy that would rent a house to them, an Amish house. So they live there and they're all just, I mean, it's just them sat there and it looks really, really boring. And then they have like this Jeremiah's girlfriend. Oh, now, Florida, 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 you've given us, you are the state that
just keeps on giving.
I mean, you are TLC, essentially. And this girl comes up and it's all like full on early 2000s clothes, right? And she hates Sabrina because this poor girl has done, see, once again, she's always the victim, Sabrina.
Oh,
she
yeah.
She comes in, barges into this house. It's like, why are you, and she attacks Sabrina. Why are you trying to sleep with my guy? She's like, I don't want anything to do with him. I don't even like him. And he sat there going, I'm going out for a cigarette. And this girl is laying into Sabrina's sleep, just being horrific to her. Sabrina is like, God, you see her. She's holding a pillow in front of her, like grasping it with tears in her eyes. And then she decides to speak up and she said, at least I don't have an STD. And the girl was, I wrote this down, the girl was named Kim, and she just responds, I don't have a disease, I got treated.
It's gone.
That's what we're dealing with.
It's gone now, okay?
Thank you, Florida. it was really bad. And then she goes out, and she's trying to beat her up, and you're like, and he's just there, like, doing nothing. You don't give a shit. Horrible treatment. It's really awful.
It's very like, oh, you're such a skank, and yeah, it's very
whore. And Sabrina's like, I don't want anything to do with him. Leave me alone. She's like, if you come anywhere near him, and she's like, I'm living with him. What do you?
Yes, I really like. Sorry, I don't even want to be around your predator boyfriend. Like, I know. You can definitely keep him.
And then we have the side characters of Abe, who's married to Rebecca, his brother, who claims, who says that he'd slept with Rebecca. And then there was his mother that also comes down. She's on camera, and I'm like, you want to be a movie star? Like, she wants. She's okay with the camera.
Yeah, that scene. But there's this scene where Abe's mom and his sister are they're pensively, they're staring out the window, and talk about a Tennessee Williams fly. And they're just very solemn and they're having this very quiet conversation. I think we should go to Florida. And she's like, but what about father? Your sister will take care of father. We've been shunned, and he doesn't want to be shunned, so we will go without him. And then they get, and then they like, they take a van, down to Florida, and she got traumatized, this mother, by buying she bought a hamburger in New York City, and it cost $25.
Yeah.
And so she forces the daughter to only eat from this jar of beef.
My nausea came in again. The nausea was there. You see them pull up in a parking lot, and she's like, I'm actually feeling a little bit nauseous right now, repeating this, especially as a vegetarian. She pulls out these jars, these mason jars. I actually feel nauseous, and I'm not even drinking, and I feel nauseous. There is cured beef or something in their surrounding fat, and she pulls it out of a jar and they eat it by the side of the road. It was disgusting. I'm sorry. It was really awful. Really gross.
Just with their fingers. And the mom's like, see, please. This is better. This is better than a restaurant, right? And the poor sister is just like,
And then it's about her trying to be English as well and see what it's like. So you have that. And then she turns up at the house in Florida and they're all kind of like, what are you doing here? Jeremiah is just an absolute prick to her. Katie Ann was the sister of Abe. He's married to Rebecca. And I must admit, there was a scene that I thought was so incredibly beautiful. You see her seeing the ocean for the first time. And, you know, it really was amazing watching this young girl just say, I've always wanted to see it. I've always wanted to see it. And she got out of this van and the mother was too scared. She was too scared of the ocean to even get out and look at it. And she gets out and she just watches it and she's just so happy. It was really beautiful. She was so happy. It was so pure. Yeah. I loved it. Oh, we didn't mention Sabrina's hair.
Oh, yeah.
So all of them, you know, are trying to find their style. Sabrina decided to bleach her hair. She's naturally dark haired, so it was kind of orange. But it was a choice. And, you know, you see her in this, though. Something's going on. I found out what was going on. But something was going on during you, because you open season two as well with her. After this first season, they got a ton of backlash. And she's like, I have a shotgun by my door. Because she had a boyfriend. The boyfriend went to prison. Like, Sabrina was, darkness around her, you know, there's just a darkness.
There was a lot not being said.
There was. And to say it now, we, and now I'm going to say it, Camille. But now we've said it. That's just a little bravo quote for everyone there. I read an article, it popped up probably from the algorithm of watching this shit. Sabrina's a photo of her, and I couldn't even recognize her in 2022. Completely different looking. She has 5 children.
Oh.
2 of them that she had when she was on the show she had them really young and are in the care of the baby's father's family. And she is, Kate, you have to Google what she looks like. You wouldn't recognize her. But she went to rehab. She was on like meth for years. And you kind of got that in this. You knew something was going on. The poor girl. Like you saw there was a lot of stuff. It was a People magazine. She just had her 5th child. And you're like, whoa.
That's the first thing that popped up. I'm looking at it right now. Talks recovery. She had an overdose in 2018.
That was it. She had an overdose. She was a very, very troubled. Like I could see it in the first season. Yeah, you don't even recognize her.
No.
What?
I mean, she looks so beautiful, but oh my gosh, she looks completely different.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was kind of, you followed them for 2 seasons. Then they went on to a new one where you had people, they took them to LA, put them up in the most fucking unbelievable house in Marina. It was like Marina del Rey or Venice. I think it was Venice. Yeah, it was Venice because we're right near the canals. This like multi-million-dollar house. I was like, wow, TLC stepped it up for 3.
Dang.
There was Betsy. She was a witch. There was Devon, who was in love with Iva. Iva was a pretty blonde who was absolutely menacing and terrible. Lizzie, Matthew, and Samuel. One guy was into fashion and constantly rumors about him being gay. And everyone knew he was, but he wouldn't admit it. And then there was a threesome with this season, like stepped it up LA style. Betsy the witch, Iva the pretty blonde, and then Devon. They had a threesome. Betsy's married. Iva was engaged, and Devon fell in love with Iva. Iva said, no, Betsy attacked me, and went to the police and filed a report on her. You might need to. Yeah, it was insane. It was insane. Iva was evil, like dead evil. Devon ends up like he's just like this lost boy and ends up being, and then she's like, she made him say that this Betsy was a witch and had forced her into doing sexual stuff, and he was going to get her arrested and he was going to go along with that just for Iva because he was so in love with her. Iva then gets engaged to the fiance. They go to Vegas. TLC fucking gives Betsy the witch footage of the night they had the threesome so she couldn't deny it anymore. And you see her being like, grab his dick. And it's really good.
Oh my God.
The fiance watches it and like freaks out. But then Iva's like, oh, come on, you still love me. And he's like, yeah, he was a complete wimp. He's like, yeah, okay, I still want to marry you. She's like evil. Anyway, the show ends. You see her. She goes back to wherever she's from. Devon has like no money, no home. He's been shunned by his family. He's like, I just need to get Iva back. So he turns up at the door. She's like, what are you doing here? He's like, I thought I had to tell you I'm in love with you. And she's like, I don't even like you. Bye. I'll call you a cab. It was brutal.
Wow.
And he's like, I'll do anything for you. It was brutal.
Oh, yeah. That is sad.
And there was a couple of arrests as well. And witchcraft. This Betsy was into witchcraft, and she said she had a lot of demons around her. So she cast this spell, and the guy fell down the stairs and broke his ankle. Yeah.
This sounds Vanderpump Rules.
It was like an Amish Vanderpump Rules. And then, which I have to go back and watch. I know I think I'm going to go back and watch it, Kate. I really am. We should do a bonus episode on Vanderpump.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We'll do something where we can go back, because if you guys, if you like this shit, buckle up. Season four then is
back in New York.
Yeah. Again, a couple of adopted people in this trying to find their kind of ancestry, and a couple of people with no teeth. That couple of them hooked up on the first night. He said he was single, actually got a pregnant wife at home. And repeat. I mean, that's essentially what it was. It was a lot of them just being in awe all the time and not understanding this life at all, having a lot of sex, drinking, wearing terrible clothes, and getting their lives ruined. I mean, a lot of these people did not come out well from this show. Like, they really, really ruined their lives. And that's TLC, Breaking Amish, everyone. Breaking Amish. There's another spin-off. This, oh God, I hope we don't get that in the Wheel of Shame this week. It's Return to Amish.
I was just looking at that right now. I'm like, wait a second.
I know.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well,
what do you want to do with ratings on it, Kate?
Okay.
Where were you with that?
I gave this a pretty high rating because there was a lot to it, you know? I gave it a rating 498.
I gave it 558. Yep. Yep. It was, we learned, you're right. You're right to give it high, as did I. We learned so, so much.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, they're all horny. A lot of witchcraft and pliers. Dentists. There was a lot. But I was, just because I was fascinated about the topic anyway, I watched it all.
We got to see them learning. They, on their way down for the road trip, they stop in Washington, D.C. and they don't know who Abe Lincoln is.
No, that was tough.
They see the White House and they're like, what? They're not impressed. They're like, what? That's small. That's too small. I've seen Amish houses bigger than that. I was like, no, you haven't. And then they stop somewhere in the South, and it just happens to be Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and there's a parade, and they're asking everyone who that is. And I was like, wow, they really missed out.
They're just not given education. They're just really not. It's frightening.
Lots of learning.
Lots of learning. And just to add to that, I mean, I think that was a really good point as well, is that because they don't have that TLC showed, if they decide to be English and live in the community, I mean, they don't have education, so they can't get jobs. That's what they were saying. They were like, how am I supposed to get a job? They don't know anything about paying bills. They don't know the basics of even putting a deposit down on a house. I mean, they have no clue.
Nothing.
So that was a big challenge as well. And some of the families shunned them and they couldn't go back. So the lives really got messed up for a while. Anyway.
Okay. Well.
So that's where we are with our ratings. So Kate, we need to do, it's time for Wheel of Shame, right?
Yes, it is.
Kate, tell your listeners what the Wheel of Shame is, please.
The Wheel of Shame is how we decide what we're going to watch for the next episode. So we're going to spin this and pick out two shows, unless we get a really big, juicy show, in which case we'll just do one show.
Let's
spin.
Okay. So, Kate, what are we aiming here? We obviously don't want an Amish. We don't want any groin stuff. I mean...
Nothing.
I don't need that.
Yeah, I don't.
No,
I don't
baby,
want
no wedding.
No, I think I'm going for either like a hoarder. I always want like a hoarder, something like
I can't watch those.
Or something with love, like a loved one.
Okay, maybe a 90 day today. We may be on our 90 day. We may get, because there's so many 90 day. I'm surprised we haven't hit one yet.
I know.
All right,
Let's
get the Wheel of Shame up. All right, we're going to get ready to spin. Spin that
wheel.
Spinning. Shit, what are we going to get? Oh, come on, Alaskan women. Come on, Alaskan women. All right, the first one up is... Style by Jury.
Style by Jury?
Yes, it's probably going to be people that have terrible style. It might be one of these Amish guys. And then people say, oh, you look like shit. Let's take you to Nordstrom's Make You Look Good Again. Okay. We're going to have to check if that's on, because that sounds like a really old one. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to check if that's actually on the platforms?
Yeah.
Style by Jury. Because it just sounds like something I haven't really heard.
I've never seen this or heard of this.
Yeah. And we kind of, I feel like we know quite a lot. Let me see. Style.
Eight seasons.
Oh, no. Really? We're not doing eight seasons, everyone. So forget that. We're going to do like, we'll pick the best seasons. Because yeah. We're not doing eight seasons. Okay. So do you think it's available?
It's at least available on Amazon Prime at the very least, but
okay, we'll figure if it's on yeah. one, we'll probably figure out somewhere. Okay, so that's gonna be our first one, everyone. Style by Jury. And no, we're not watching eight seasons. We'll probably watch like we should do the first and the last, Kate. Why don't we do that?
That's
for
fine.
Everyone that wants to follow along, we'll do first and last. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get our next one. All right, so we'll remove Style by Jury. Next one. Spinning the wheel, spinning, spin, spin. I don't want the little couple either because we did that. Okay.
Yeah.
Next one. Oh, it's blank. That's so funny. It was like a blank one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Remove. All right. Let's spin it again. All right. Wheel is spinning. Okay. What are you going to do?
Come on.
We have. No.
What is it?
I deserve better than this, Kate.
Is it a baby one?
Brides on a Budget.
Oh, God.
Oh, Kate. Have we not been through enough? All I want is Alaskan women looking for love, and you give me Brides on a Budget?
Kill me now.
Kate. Oh, fucking hell.
Well, we'll do what we always do and take the piss.
We will take the piss. We will persevere. We do it all for you, listeners, in Australia, in Germany, Switzerland, in England, in America, and Spain, and wherever you're listening. Brides on a Budget and Style by Jury are our two shows for next week. So, yeah, buckle up for some rants. Okay, social media, let's do our plugs before we go. Instagram and TikTok. Come on, guys, come and follow us on there. See, we always do little tidbits of the shows coming up. We are on Instagram and TikTok, Tender Loving Care Pod. On Twitter, we're always tweeting out some shit about people. TLC Poddy. So TLC Poddy on Twitter. Instagram and TikTok is Tender Loving Care Pod. Go over and follow us there. Agents in the Field, we kind of already discussed that. You can email us, tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. Kate, do you have anything you want to plug this week?
Sure. If you want to listen to some gals chat about Bravo, go on over to @mostlybravo on Instagram and find us on any podcast platform you use, @mostlybravo.
Perfect. And I will also plug my line of Bravo merch. You can find me on Instagram @abritinthesun, B-R-I-T in the sun. All right. We've All done right. the Lord's work today, Kate. We really have.
We're saints. I will rest easy tonight.
I know. I mean, we sacrifice a lot for our community. And our ass is going to have to sit on the couch and watch Brides on a Budget.
Brides on a Budget.
I'm gonna be in a bad mood next week.
The only way I'll like it is if they have to craft it themselves, like Project Runway style. But I know it's just them.
It's not.
Yeah. It's gonna be them like, oh, I can only spend $3,000.
And then someone going, what can we do for this bride? Terry goes to the back of the shop and finds a dress for the exact same price. Oh, we're done. You know, I mean, that's what it's gonna be. Style by Jury, I'm looking forward to if they're like really critical. You know, if they're like, you look horrendous. Like that's, I'm going to be, you know, the English style. What was the English show that they ended up making an American version of it? See?
Oh, with Stacey London and.
No, not her. No, it was another one. It's the original one that it started like back in the 90s or like early 2000s. Trini and. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about if you're listening to this, but they were brutal. They were like, you have no tits, so you can't wear that. this is what you can wear. It was great. They were awful. But they were right. They were always right. And that's kind of what we're like being English. We will be, I may come across a little harsh, but I'm never wrong. And with that, we will end the pod. Kate, have a fabulous week.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Have a great.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.